Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning, and we welcome all in Jesus' precious name. And we pray that as well as being a blessing, we would be blessed this morning. For intimations, just the event of a fire alarm, which is very unlikely. From here, the exits are through the side, the doors there out the front, and congregate up at the school car park. For in the halls, then it's out the two side doors and again up to the car park. Tea and coffee after the service, just in the big hall after worship. It's planned to continue this over the summer, and so Jean Galloway's looking for anyone who'd be willing to help to draw up so that a rota could be drawn up. This is a really good time just to share. And so, please, if you can help over the summer, where is she? I can see you right in front of me. Hold on a sec. Jings, there you are. Speak to Jean. That was about tea and coffee. Next week after the service here in the church, the Ardeer Church annual stated meeting, I just get time to go over the finances and what's going on with the building and all the rest of it, and to be able to look also at what's coming up in the future for worship in the place and mission and just how we are as congregations here in Stevenson. One final one is the Cupcake Day last Sunday. £220 was donated for Alzheimer's Scotland, so it's a really great effort, and thanks to Dorothy for all her work in pulling that together. A call to worship. Most powerful Holy Spirit, come down upon us and subdue us. From heaven, where the ordinary is made glorious and glory seems but ordinary, bathe us with the brilliance of your light like dew. Amen. Now this song, we've not done this song before, so just be seated and follow the words on the screen and listen to the track. You might be a little bit surprised, that's why we're not going to stand up.
Sometimes I feel afraid of being on my own with no one here to play with me.
So now we've got through that one. We know it.
No.
We'd maybe just have to do it again then. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just come before you this morning to take time to be before you, to be in your presence, to bow before you, for you are our Heavenly Father, our Holy Father. You are our God Almighty, our Creator. And Lord, that we come before you to just to praise your name, to honour you, and to dwell in your presence. Father, we pray that your name would be known to be holy, that your name would be hallowed by all. And Father, as we pray too that as we learn more about who you are and what you've done for us through Jesus Christ and in the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may see your kingdom come in this place. Father, that we might know your plan for us, both individually and together as a family of your people here. Father, we pray that your ways would be known. As we pray too, Lord, as your kingdom come, that your will would be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, that people would be looking to you and to your ways for how they follow and for how we are with each other. And Heavenly Father, we come before you because you are the Creator, you are the Provider, you give us these things that we need. And so, Lord, as we take this time, we pray for those things that we need. Not necessarily things that we want, but the things that we need for today. So those things which are physical, those things which are spiritual, Lord, you know what it is that we need. And so we just bow before you. And we come to forgive and seek forgiveness. Come to seek forgiveness for the sins that we commit and to forgive those who will sin against us. Lord, enable us by your Spirit to understand what that forgiveness is that Jesus earned for us on the cross and in his resurrection. Allow us to have that right attitude that allows us to forgive and enables us to understand what it is to be forgiven. And Father, as we go through this world, we ask for your protection from all evil. That, Lord, that as we go through following your name, that we would know that you were there around us by your Spirit with Jesus. And Father, we pray that as we enter into times of trial, we know that you're right there beside us. You are our God, you are our Father. You have done so much for us, Lord. And this morning we just come before you and bow before you to bless you, to honour your name. And so hear us as we pray together, using the words that Jesus taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let's rise if we can to sing together. Father God, I wonder. I'm going to sing this through twice. So I wonder if anyone can tell me what a promise is.
Something
that she can keep. Oh, there's a straight one-liner. And before there's war in the front. What is that? What is a promise then? Do you know what a promise is? It's where we make a deal?
No, none of those.
A commitment.
Yeah.
It's when we say we're going to do something and then we kind of need to keep that there. So, you know, God makes lots of promises. But actually, when we start to look at what he says, it's more of a thing we're going to call as a covenant. And it's a covenant is a promise that God's made, a commitment that he's made. But he puts it all up first. And so what he does is he sets everything in place for this covenant. And he says to his people, and he said it to Noah, and he said it to Abraham, and he said to a whole lot of other people, this is what I'm going to do for you, but I want you to do this. And sometimes we have what's called a contract that has penalty clauses. So if we don't do that, we get it wrong and don't do it, then we need to do something. But this covenant that God does is he puts it all in place. So I'm going to try and work this out, see if we can do this. If I commit to doing something, then for you, are you going to commit to doing something for me? Talk to everybody. But if you want to answer, that's fine. But you don't know what it is yet. So here's my wee commitment. I'm going to commit, as part of a covenant, is to give you a wee punnet of strawberries. Strawberries. Look, I've got every item of atom of attention from. If I was to give these strawberries to Margaret, that when you go through, that you would all share them out. That means you get one, but you don't get them all. Then your part of this commitment, this promise, is to have a strawberry. Is that fair? That's kind of a commitment. I'm going to commit to giving these strawberries, and you're going to commit to eating one, at least. Right? Okay? That's a kind of covenant. Of course, if I don't give you the strawberries, then you can't get a strawberry, can you? No. I would say, though, they smell really nice.
No.
They smell really, really nice.
I think they're just trying to make him hungry.
And make me hungry.
Nice.
However, before I think about really how nice they smell, and knowing from the other punnet how well they taste, I'm going to hand them over. That's a commitment. That's like a covenant. I've committed to giving you something, and I've asked you to commit to doing something back. Now, God does that, but he gives us Jesus Christ as part of his covenant with us so that we can have life in all its abundance. So that was what God has done for us. And we can only do things like saying an example of, if I give you strawberries, will you eat one? I'm not sure that's the right way of saying it. But you know, sometimes these things are kind of difficult to explain. So we're going to sing again, because this is all about looking to the kingdom of God and looking to find God. So we'll sing, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Then we'll have a wee prayer, and then the children will go through and do other things as well as share strawberries. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's stand. So let's pray. Father God, just ask a blessing upon these, our children, as they go through to learn. And Lord, a blessing on those who teach. And Lord, may you give an abundance of your Spirit in you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Turn now to our offering. Prayer points for this morning from Ardrossan Presbytery, Killinning Old Parish Church. The interim moderator there is Ross Mitchell. Of course, Isabel Beck is the deacon, and Ross is convener of the Vacancy Procedure Committee. So just to remember these aspects of presbytery in prayer. From Crossreach, South Beach House, care home for 40 residents, and celebrating their 60th year. And their prayer point, one of their prayer points, give thanks for the 60th year celebration. May South Beach House continue to be a happy place for all who stay and visit. And for Path of Renewal, just to pray this morning for the facilitator, the Reverend Liz Crumlish. And in particular, is now they're looking for another set of congregations to begin working through Path of Renewal. So let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we pray this morning, we begin with ourselves. We begin, Lord, to give you thanks and praise for all that you've done for us, with us, through us. And Father, as we pray, we acknowledge that we know you in the really good times, and sometimes, Lord, it's really difficult to see you in the harder times. But Lord, we know it's one of your promises that you'll be there. And so, Lord, we just give you that thanks and that praise. And as we come this morning, we come to worship you. We pray for those who are on our left and on our right, who are in front of us or behind us, are seated above us or beneath us or in another part of this building. And Lord, as we pray that your Spirit would touch each one at the point of need, that you would bless each of those that we are praying about now. And Father, as we take our prayers from this place, we pray for those that we know aren't here today, for whatever reason. And we pray for those in the houses that we pass as we head home or go and do other things. We pray that you would be known, that your love would be known in those places. We pray, Lord, that as we walk past these houses and we see people walking past us and in cars and in buses, Lord, that as we pray that they would come to know you. We pray for all those who work in this area, and particularly as the school year comes to an end, we pray for all those who are working in Glencairn Primary and Ardeer Primary. And Lord, that this time of change, transition, and a busy time would be followed by a time of rest. Father, we pray for this nation. We pray for the governments, for those who are elected to represent us and to make these decisions that they're called to make. We would pray that in all that you would be known. Father, we pray for this world, a world which at times seems to be in utter chaos, a world which is in need of peace, of your love, and a world which does not see that commitment, that covenant that you have made with your people. Heavenly Father, as we just take a wee bit of time now, we bring to you our own prayers, just in the silence. Father, as we bring our prayers together, so we pray for those who might be listening to the service on the internet or through the CDs that go out. And Lord, we'd ask that you would bless them just wherever they are, however they are, and whoever they are. Hear these, our prayers, offered in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As we come to our reading, we come to dwell in the Word, and the reading is from Malachi 1, it's the whole chapter, and Louisa is going to read first, and then Pat will read for us as well. So listen each one for the Word of God.
A prophecy, the Word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. Israel doubts God's love. I have asked you, said the Lord, but you ask, How have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declared the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated, and I have turned his hill country into a wasteland, and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Almighty Lord has said. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. Breaking covenant through blemished sacrifices. A son honours his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honour due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me, said the Lord Almighty? It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled foods on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you, said the Lord Almighty? Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you, said the Lord Almighty? Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors, so that you would not light useless fires in my altar. I am not pleased with you, said the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, said the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying the Lord's table is defiled, and its food is contemptible, and you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, said the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hand, said the Lord? Cursed is the cheat who has an acceptable meal in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, said the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared amongst the nations.
Amen. Thanks. And as we hear that reading again, then it's an opportunity to ask the Spirit just what it is that he wants to bless us with from that reading, and then we'll remain sitting and sing Living Under the Shadows of His Wings. Pat, thank you.
This is a reading from Malachi chapter 1, a prophecy, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated, and I have turned his hill country into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of God. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. A son honours his father and a slave his master. If I am a father, where is the honour due me? If I am a master, where is the respect due me, says the Lord Almighty? It is you priests who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? By offering defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you offer blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice lame or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now plead with God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands will he accept you, says the Lord Almighty. Oh, that one of you would shut the temple doors, so that you would not light useless fires on my altar. I am not pleased with you, said the Lord Almighty, and I will accept no offering from your hands. My name will be great among the nations, from where the sun rises to where it sets. In every place, incense and pure offerings will be brought to me, because my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord Almighty. But you profane it by saying, the Lord's table is defiled, and its food is contemptible. And you say, what a burden, and you sniff at it contemptuously, says the Lord Almighty. When you bring injured, lame, or diseased animals and offer them as sacrifices, should I accept them from your hands, says the Lord. Cursed is a cheat who has an acceptable male in his flock and vows to give it, but then sacrifice a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. May God bless this reading of his word.
Amen. Thank you. I have that opportunity now just to read through the words as they're displayed on the screen, and then we'll sing together. Let's join together in prayer. Let's pray. Father, we turn to you. I ask you now for the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus by your Spirit to rest upon every mind in this place, in order that the perception of what I would say will be heard, received, applied as you intend. Cleanse my tongue that I'll be your transparent instrument to say everything that needs to be said, nothing that doesn't need to be said. And I pray that I'll be very, very clear and that this will bring great honour and glory to your name. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, God has set covenant with many people. We see in Scripture, we see him set a covenant with Noah and with Abraham and others, and Old Testament. And as he does that, he's setting in place his promises, his commitment to his people. And every time God does this, he puts what it is that he's going to do up first. And then we see in Scripture too that reminder to obey his commandments, his decrees, his laws, is to obey and keep his covenant. And here at Malachi, we get to the point where Malachi has a prophecy. He's got a prophecy for the people. This is about 60, 70 years or so after the people have come back from exile, from Babylon. They've resettled in their own areas and they've been rebuilding. And so they've been away from seeing some of God for a few years. They have been in captivity. They've come back to their own land. And God had set in place all these covenants. So this prophecy comes in at this time, about 60, 70 years. It's roughly around the same time as Ezra and Nehemiah, and the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And the governor referred to in the reading would previously have been Nehemiah, but it's just around all that time. So this prophecy, these words from God that come, and first of all they come to the priests, to the priesthood, for the clan of Levi, those who were called through Levi to be priests, and it comes there. And actually, that covenant was to set up the ideal of life and peace. So in everything that the priests were to be doing, it was all about setting up life and peace for the people. But as we read through Malachi, and again, take the time to read right through Malachi. There's four chapters, but it runs right through the breaking of the covenant. It's not only the priests. The priests were of the wrong attitude. They were looking to themselves. Part of what I was saying about what was on the table, the defilement of the table or the food that was on the table, the offerings, was that they were keeping the best for themselves as opposed to giving the best to God. And so their attitude was wrong. And if their attitude is wrong, and then this is what they're presenting to the people. So that was the God's bit about the covenant, the priestly covenant, but actually there was also the covenant with the nation, with the people of Israel, the people that God had initially brought out of slavery from Egypt, brought them to the promised land, and then of course we see them going into exile, and they've come out of exile, and here they're no longer honouring the Father. And you know, that's one of the things from the Ten Commandments, is to honour your mother and your father. But really, in many ways, when we think about that commandment, we should be thinking about God the Father and honouring him. This is what the people were missing out on. They weren't honouring the Father. They were, in their lives, they were selecting what they wanted to do, but also many of the men were divorcing and remarrying foreign women, women from other lands, other areas. And actually the thing about that, that's a breaking of the covenant and an abrogating of the very marriage covenant with the, as the scripture says, with the wife of their youth. And so So they were very much doing their own thing. They were divorcing themselves from God as well, turning away from the Father, and almost going through some of the stuff in rote. But instead of putting up as sacrifices the best, they were putting up just what they can, and references to about you're promising the first animal, the unblemished animal, but actually you're putting up the blemished one. And so that idea there of the people are breaking that covenant that God made with them. That was the trouble then. And all we need to do is look around today and we can see that same kind of stuff going on. Not only in church, around church, but actually in the attitude of many people in the world, where God becomes something to park, to put aside, to ignore. For many people, they just don't believe in a God. And for many people, too, they become very aggressive and assertive about there being no God. And then as we look to the world starts to do their own thing. And in the way of the people at the time, way back then, actually people are looking to themselves. I've been through before some of these adverts that will say, because we're worth it, or because we deserve it. And we put ourselves first instead of putting God first. So that trouble that we see way back then with the people post-exilic, we see then, we can see just by looking around the world today and the way that people either ignore faith, ignore God, or actually turn against people of church, or turn against church. And also ourselves, when we're looking at what we do in our way of working with God and working for God, is that if we're not putting up the best, then we're not honouring the Father. That's part of that covenant. If we don't give of ourselves a full commitment, we're not honouring that covenant that God has made. That covenant is where two parties come together with solemn oaths, and there's responsibilities from one to another and back and forth. And the problem is socially in a nation, and we look here and we look at that nation is in deep trouble when these covenants are broken, and spiritually the breaking of an oath brings inevitably the wrath of God, both in temporal judgment and in eternal judgment. You know, and it's amazing now, even today, that the way people will say, God does not have a wrath. So there is no wrath, there is no judgment. I have to tell you that that's not my understanding of Scripture. God has a wrath, God has a judgment. And when we break our oath to Him, then that can be seen. But suppose this is where, when we start to look back at that scripture, and we look in chapter 4 of Malachi, the prophecy goes on then to speak about the renewing of the covenant. It's about the renewing of the people that come back to God. God has never said in that time that those who turn to Him will be denied. What God has said in chapter 1, what He said there about Esau, Jacob and Esau, who loved Jacob and because he didn't fulfill to Esau, he didn't love and commit and hold Esau, then that idea of hatred is there. But he loves them. He loves Esau and the family. But actually, there's a bit about what he cannot condone and cannot carry on. And that was the Esau's behavior and his response to the father. So, when we look at Malachi 4, we begin to see this development, renewal of that covenant, that where God's people come to him and respond to him, he will honour them as we honour him. That's about that covenant. That's what we see, and the promise in Malachi 4 is that we'll see someone to come. And right through Malachi, there's this hint of there's someone coming for the covenant. And we know when we get to the New Testament, that new covenant, we know that what God has done is given us Jesus Christ. We know, and we can look at Scripture and understand that as God has given us Jesus, he's done that for our eternal judgment, our eternal lives, and for judgment now, for in Jesus' death, resurrection, and ascension, he brings forgiveness of sins. And so that for all our sins, we receive forgiveness, and we're called into that relationship with him, that covenant relationship, where God has done everything for us. He's given us his Son, he's given us of himself, and then he gives even more through his Holy Spirit. And we have forgiveness of sin, and we can know eternal life in the presence of the Father. It's grace. God's grace in the Bible comes true in God's grace in the world. This is how it is for us, and how it can be for us. And part of that covenant is not just about honouring the Father and being part of who he is, being part of that covenant. It's actually about sharing his love, his grace, his mercy with his people around him. And very much keeping of that covenant, I've spoken about this before, I see in two ways of discipleship and mission. And that discipleship being, first of all, our own relationship with the Father. And the attitude that God was, the prophecy was speaking about for the priests, was to come with one of praise and thanksgiving. And so as we come before the God in the times of worship, in our times of quiet devotions, then it's about praise and it's about thanksgiving. It's about that upward direction for our relationship with the Father, our discipleship. And as we develop that, then we see how that affects our relationship with each other and the church family, and then moving out wider into mission. And one of the things we do need to be careful about when we're thinking about this as part of the covenant, that mission is not just good works. It's not just a nice thing to do, but it has to be in the name of God, and it's to let people see and to know the love of God. It's about sharing God's love with others around. That's all contained in the covenant for us in Jesus, in the new covenant, and all that God has done for us. So as we look to our future, and in many ways, you know, we do need to look at how the church is changing and how Presbytery will be changing and how we need to change in terms of a united congregation and what that means. And you know, the official document for a union is called a basis of union. And that official document is very much the recording of a covenant. It's what we as congregations commit to as we look to the union. And so that basis of union is very much a covenant, and a covenant that needs to be worked out and teased out and recorded. But it shares how we as two church families become one church family. So as we think forward and the whole idea of being part of a covenant, we're part of that covenant, that new covenant that God has given us through Jesus Christ, his Son, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, who is a gift from the Father through the Son. Let's just join together in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of praise and worship. We thank you for your words to us. Help us by your Spirit to focus on the covenant that you've made with us, that we may honour you and obey your commandments, your decrees, your ways. And this we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we sing together, Before the Throne of God Above. And I was told just before the service starts, there's a 22-second intro. So 22, if you want to see what 22 seconds sounds like, it's going to come right up now. Father, just as we begin to leave this place, may your Spirit travel with us. May he lead us, may he guide us, may he surround us, and may he enable us to know more of the covenant that you have with us. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one now and until Jesus comes again, and then forevermore. And all God's people said, Amen. As we sing peace to you, let's take time as well to share that peace with people around us or by waving Father Field.